Chapter 2, as I announce the scripture that we're going to be looking at, maybe you say, well, we're still around the events of the birth of Christ. The early chapters of Luke describe those, as it does Matthew, and we will, God willing, read the latter part of the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke this morning. Luke chapter 2. Verse 39 through the end of the chapter, which is verse 52. Luke 2:39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, the parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. Oh God, open your word to us, please. Oh Lord, We need you. We need the leadership of the Spirit of God to bless us in worship, to bless me to preach and expound upon the Word, O God, and me and all of us to hear the Word of God. We want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Grant, O God, grant that, please, that you might get honor and glory and we'd be instructed in your Word and we'd be lifted up in worship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It seems like, in my memory, it seems to me that after I somewhat exhaust the birth of Christ, you can't exhaust it, but after I preach on it some, and I preach about the birth of Christ and events around it, that I wind up at this text right here. It seems like I remember that in years gone by. I don't plan it like that. I didn't plan it like that for today, but just it seemed like the Spirit led in that way. It seemed like the logical thing to do, and it seemed like the Spirit was leading me as I read these verses. We have Matthew and Luke cover the events around the birth of Christ. We have in recent weeks studied about Mary and Elizabeth before they gave birth to their respective sons, Jesus and John the Baptist. We talked about them and events around their carrying those babies and things that happened. John the Baptist leaping in the womb of Elizabeth when he came into the presence of his Lord and Savior. Prophecies of these two women and of Zechariah right around the time of the conception and birth of these boys. And then we studied about the birth of Jesus and the shepherds how the angels appeared to those shepherds and how they left their flocks and went and found that baby. The angel said, you shall find. And I repeated a number of times about finding, seeking and finding, and about the shepherds finding the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then we studied about the visit of the wise men, how they came, possibly from 2 years later, maybe such a long, arduous journey, and they came and they fell before him. He was a child at that time, a toddler child, I believe, around 2 years old. And they gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew and Luke cover these events, while Mark and John don't. The gospel writers write their own version by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Some include details, others don't. It's okay. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable to us. Luke is the only of the four gospel writers who mentions this event that we read about today. Luke. It's only found in Luke. The birth of Christ, the angels announcing it to the shepherds visiting, the wise men visiting, the wonderful time that surrounds the birth of Jesus. And then, brethren, there's a silence about it until one commentator said, 29 years old, when his cousin John the Baptist is baptizing, Jesus shows up. The last you hear about him is he went into Nazareth of Galilee with Mary, his mother, and Joseph. And the next thing you hear, and he's probably 2 years old, maybe. The next thing you hear, he's 29 or 30, and he's at the baptism of John the Baptist. There you have it. Except for Luke the physician. He includes the verses that we presented today. I looked at Matthew and Mark and John, and they all say very, very similar things. Matthew talks about Jesus being born, and then Mary and Joseph going into Galilee, and then the next thing he talks about is John the Baptist coming in the wilderness, preaching and baptizing, and Jesus coming to him. He goes from there, he goes the span of roughly 29, 30, 28, 29 years. There it is. That's it. Goes from one event to the other. Mark starts out saying, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he begins to talk about John the Baptist preaching and Jesus coming to him. John starts out, in the beginning was the Word, doesn't he? And he tells us about the eternal Word. And then his account of the birth of Jesus is, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There it is. And then he goes into the preaching ministry and of Jesus. So Luke is the only one of the four that gives us this account. All scripture being given by inspiration of God. I want to be inspired, brethren, this morning by the Spirit of God to make some comments on Luke's account of this one account that of the four, the only one that mentions this, of a time when Jesus was 12 years old, something that happened. I mentioned to you, I think last Sunday, I was with Brother Ralph and Bailey, and Brother Bailey asked, he said, Brother Mike, why is there nothing or so little about those years? And in our limited wisdom, Brother Ralph and I commented something to the effect, well, his time was not yet come. He was not on his public ministry at the time. So the daily grind of making things in the carpenter shop with his stepfather Joseph, if that's what he did, is not part of Scripture. But this one event is. And so I want to study it again today. I know in years gone by, after what we call the Christmas season, I've tried to preach to you on this, and here we are again today. I'll just take the verses in order and make some comments about them. Verse 39 of chapter 2 of Luke, it says, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Mary and Joseph and the child return now. They go to Nazareth. That's where Mary lived and probably where Joseph lived. And they make their home in Nazareth. And Luke says in verse 40, to kind of set the stage, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He's now a child growing up in Nazareth. Very small town, not very well thought of, the town of Nazareth. But that's where God placed him. The child grew, verse 40. How many of us have asked the question when the baby or the grandbaby comes home from the doctor, how much did she weigh today? How much has she grown? How much has he grown? Jesus grew, brethren. That's what we want children to do, to thrive. And he waxed strong in spirit. The Spirit of God, brethren, is upon him. He's increasing. He's growing in spirit. He's strong in spirit. That's what we want our children to do. We want to see the Spirit of God in and upon them and on their lives. He's filled with wisdom. We want our children to be wise, brethren. We want to have a wisdom that gives them guidance and direction. And the grace of God was upon him. Of course it was. Grace is poured into his lips. God gave him the Spirit not by measure as he grew. All good reports there. If Joseph came home and said, Mary, how's he doing? If she said, well, he's growing, he's strong in spirit, he's filled with wisdom, and the grace of God's upon him, that's what we want to hear about our children. That's what is said about Jesus. Now, years pass, time passes, and now he's in his 12th year. He inhabits eternity, brethren. He has no beginning. He's always been. But it's been 12 years now since he's been made flesh and began dwelling among us. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year. I love that, brethren. Why'd they go to Jerusalem every year? To celebrate and observe the feast of the Passover. The Passover was instituted way back when they came out of Egypt, deliverance from Egypt. And it was to be kept every year, the feast of the Passover. My understanding is it was a 7-day feast. I read in some outside reading that they weren't required to stay the whole week, had to stay at least a couple of days. I don't know about that. I think that it began, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Passover began, and they ate unleavened bread. And I think on the last day, that great day of the feast, is when the Passover lamb was killed, I think. But anyway, it was 7 days. And they went every year. His parents, they're referred to here. That's Mary, his mother, and his stepfather, Joseph. His earthly stepfather. They went every year. Ah, brethren, that's a good report. They're training him up in the way he should go. They're godly people. Would that surprise you that they're godly like this? After all, Mary was chosen to carry our Lord and Savior. And Joseph, her espoused husband, that was the couple God picked. Certainly he'd pick a godly couple, somebody devoted to him. They go every year to Passover. And when he was 12 years old, Jesus is now in his 12th year of human. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So they go to Jerusalem. And when they had fulfilled the days, when it was okay for them to leave, they returned. They headed back to Nazareth. And the child Jesus, this is significant, brethren, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. He stayed behind. How many times have you said to your child, come on, time to go, let's go, let's go. I recall in preaching to you from this text before, standing here and saying that I had a son who could tarry behind and get separated from us the quickest of anything. It would just boggle my mind how he could just disappear, just be gone. And we'd miss him and start looking for him. And he never did think he was lost, ever, that I know of. It never bothered him, and it would drive us crazy, worry us, and drive us to distraction nearly. When we find him, get on to him. And he'd be mystified, like, what's wrong with y'all? It's like I knew where I was the whole time. Don't worry. Brethren, Jesus, in this case, tarried behind in Jerusalem. This is, we have right here, brethren, the one photo, the one glimpse of the life of Jesus from the time he was a very small child until he's an adult man about to begin his public ministry. This is the one time we see him. And look at him, brethren. He tarries behind in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Passover. I thought this week, I was thinking about these verses, and I thought about that Feast of the Passover and Mary and Joseph and Jesus being there. Jesus had half-siblings, brethren. James is said to be one of them, wrote the book of James. He had sisters. On one occasion, some people said, Jesus, your mother and your brethren are out here. Your brothers and sisters are out here. Well, they were half to him. They had the same mother, different daddy. Maybe there were other children with them. We're not told about that on this occasion, but I would suspect there were, because he's 12 by now. Probably other children have come on the scene. But he's there, and he's tarrying in Jerusalem. And they, Mary and Joseph, verse 44, supposing him to have been in the company. There was a company of people traveling together. It was relatives of Mary and Joseph. And it was friends of theirs, friends, neighbors. They got together. They traveled together. Probably safer to travel together. Probably easier to travel in a group. They could share, encourage one another, share maybe food. Maybe somebody had a donkey if somebody needed to ride. It was a pretty good trip from Nazareth through Galilee into Judea and up to Jerusalem. And so they, when they didn't see him, they said, well, maybe he's with the group somewhere. Playing with siblings, playing with cousins, playing with friends. They went a day's journey, we're told. I interpret that to be when they left that morning, they traveled all day long. They didn't see him, and they said, well, he's here somewhere. And they sought him probably late in the afternoon or at evening. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. That lets us know there were kin people and friends with them in the group, verse 44, verse 45. And when they found him not, they ask around everywhere they knew to ask. Nobody's seen him. He's not here, they decide. They turn back again to Jerusalem seeking him. One writer said it was the next morning. Luke doesn't tell us if they traveled at night or the next day. We don't know, but they went back. They'd gone a day's journey, so they go back now a day's journey. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. 3 days. I don't know if the first day travel was included in that, or it took them three more whole days to find him. But anyway, it was some time passed, and they looked, I would suggest to you, around Jerusalem. But they found him, and they found him, and they found him where? In the temple. I remember preaching to you about this before and saying, well, maybe one of the first places they looked was the market. Children, my understanding, played in the market. Like going to the mall, I guess, these days. That's maybe the first place or one of the places they looked. And maybe one of the latter or last places they looked was the temple. And I remember thinking, you know, it surely would please a parent that if they could say, the first place I'm going to look for him is the church house. Of course, we're not here all day like they were in the temple. I think temple was open all day long. But you know, had Mary and Joseph thought, maybe they would have gone to the temple first. Not a criticism of them, but it just took them 3 days, so I don't think they looked in the temple first. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. You know, thinking back, brethren, maybe later they might have said, you know, we'd have found him a lot sooner if we'd gone to the temple first, knowing what he's like and how the grace of God's on him and he's filled with the Spirit of God, maybe that's where he's going to be. Let's go there first. But they found him, brethren, and I love this, sitting in the midst of the doctors. That's the educated, the learned, the lawyers, doctors of the law, PhDs, the educated ones, sitting in the midst of 12-year-old boy, sitting in the midst of them. And what's he doing, brethren? He's paying attention. He's hearing them. He's listening to their discussion and asking them questions. Last week, we had that minister's school. It was in Thomasville. And Thomasville Church hosted us. God bless them. Did a great job. And what we did, brethren, was we sat around, we so-called learned men, so-called, and we listened to one another. Topics are assigned to various ministers, and they stand before the group, and they teach, hopefully. They present on the verses that they're given and the scriptures and the topics they're given. And we listen. We sit together and we listen. Listening, hearing them. We hear them out. And then after the presentations, we have a time for discussion and questions. I imagine something similar to what was going on here. And hopefully, if someone sat in on that session, they would learn, hopefully. We have a rule that if you're not a minister, you're not allowed to talk or ask questions. You can sit and hopefully learn. It's just to keep, you know, orderly and keep it going. It's not nothing to discriminate, but that's just the way that it's set up, and it works good. But Jesus is there, brethren, in the minister's school, if you will. He's listening and he's asking questions. And brethren, he's on the ball too. Brethren, he's strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God is upon him, because look, verse 47, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I do love to read that. I do love to read it, brethren, because one of the things it tells me is Jesus is coming along, brethren. He's not your typical 12-year-old. I've got a granddaughter that thinks she's about 12. I think she's 12 now. And I love her, and she's a godly little girl. But brethren, if you turned her loose and watched where she goes, she probably wouldn't go to the temple. And she wouldn't go to the minister school, probably, unless I said, come on, we're going. She'd go with me. She'd love to go with me. And she'd sit in there. But I'd have to watch her, brethren, because she'd probably have her phone out. She probably wouldn't be hearing and asking questions, at least not of us. She'd probably be asking about her friends. But that's children. But brethren, this one, this child right here, this 12-year-old, brethren, he's God made flesh, and he's dwelling among us. And he's got some business to tend to. We're going to know that. You know that now, but he's going to say it in a minute. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Matthew, Mark, and John, they don't tell us anything about this, but that's all right. God inspired them to write other things. But here's Luke, brethren. Here's Luke. You know, in case you're wondering, in case you're had a wonderful time studying the scriptures about the angels announcing his appearance and the shepherds coming and the wise men coming and Herod trying to kill him. And then he heads off to Galilee, Nazareth in Galilee. And that's the last you hear of him until he's baptized. In case you get a little uneasy, like, what's he up to? Is he still about the business here of your and my salvation? Here's a little window you can look through, brethren. When he's 12 years old, his mom and daddy head home from Passover, and he stays behind. He stays behind, and then he's found in the temple. I know that God's not going to desert us, and he's not going to ever leave us or forsake us, but it's just good for me, does my soul good to say, well, at 12, he's getting ready. He's preparing. He's studying. He's about his father's business, and he's going to come on the scene. He's going to burst onto the scene, and he's going to take up his father's business. All they that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Verse 48, and when they saw him, that's Mary and Joseph, they were amazed. They were astonished. Look where he is. Look what he's doing. Oh, that we as parents could all be happily amazed like that when we see our children and grandchildren, that they're up to good. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why have you done this? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now that's his father figure. That's Joseph. We've been worried sick about you. Son, why'd you do this? Look at the response, brethren. Verse 49. And he said unto them both, How is it that ye sought me? I think not. He's not asking here, why were you looking for me? Because he knew he belonged to Mary and Joseph, his stepfather. He knew they'd be looking for him, but I think he's asking, why were you looking where you looked for me instead of the temple? Why did you look all over town for me? Mama, you should know this is where I'd be. How is it that ye sought me? Wist, and that means knew you not, know you not. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Oh, man. Oh, man. There's a verse in Proverbs. I can't quote it. I didn't look it up. It just sort of came to me, and I won't be able to quote it right. But it says something like, when you have a servant that's faithful and you can send him and he does his duty, that's a blessing. That's just a poor attempt at it. But it's like, when your servant is about the business you send him on, that's a great blessing. A servant that can be trusted. And Jesus says, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Oh man, what a good feeling. I'm going to come back to that, brethren, in a minute. Verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. That has always kind of puzzled me a little bit, because after all, the angel has come to Mary years before and said, you're going to have a son. Call him Jesus. He's going to be the Messiah. He's going to save his people from their sins. Shepherds showed up at the time of his birth and said, angels just told us good news. The Savior's born. Wise men came, bowed before him. You know, seemed like she'd get it. Well, one thing, brethren, it has been 12 years, roughly. It has been. And as far as we know, the only thing extraordinary is, which is, I say, the only thing, he grew, he waxed strong in spirit, he's filled with wisdom, the grace of God's upon him. But he hadn't done any miracles yet. But he's growing in grace. And so Mary and Joseph, they don't quite understand it all, but she ponders it in her heart. Verse 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Here we go now, back on the journey, they go home, and he's subject unto them like an obedient child should be. He carries out the reasonable and lawful commands of his parents. But Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. Roll them over in her mind over and over and over as she watches this boy. Verse 52. And Jesus, I like this, increased in wisdom and stature. He's growing up into a man. And in favor with God and in favor with man. What a young man he was. What a young man. Now, brethren, back in closing, back to verse 49. Jesus, the 12-year-old, says, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I wrote down some things here. I'm going to look at my notes and I want to read them off to you. My Father's business. His Father's business, brethren. Jesus, on his Father's errand, was to work out salvation for you and me. That was his business. To obtain eternal redemption for them. That was his business. And you know what, brethren? I know you know this. Only he could do it. Only this one servant of God, child of God, son of God. Only he could do it. No one else. He would not stop being about his Father's business until he completed it, until it was finished. Those three words on the cross, it is finished. That was going to happen 12 from 33 is what, 11? Some years later. It was his Father's business because the Father set out to save the elect of God. It was a business Christ came to perform and did perform when he said, it is finished, and not until then. Thank God for this business. Thank God for his salvation. Thank God that Christ was about his Father's business. in his 12th year in a fleshly body, and then in his 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd, roughly 33rd year, when he said, "It is finished." The business of your salvation and mine, brethren, is taken care of. And we have here at this account of Luke, we have a little picture window to look into that shows that he's about his Father's business as he was growing up. And then he came as a man. He came to be baptized of John the Baptist. He came preaching in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He came, brethren, to heal, to teach, to save his people from their sins. And in his last year of life on this earth, he went to the cross to complete the Father's business. And he did. I'm so thankful, brethren, that Jesus is all about his Father's business. Consumed him. Nothing would deter him from it. And I praise God for his faithfulness. I pray, brethren, that you and I will be more faithful about our Heavenly Father's business. That we won't get distracted. We won't get lost. And we'll be diligent about doing our Father's business, Heavenly Father's business. Oh God in heaven, have mercy. Thank you for your wonderful word, the record of our Lord and Savior as he was growing into a man, that he remained diligent about your business. Thank you, Lord, for growing him up and blessing him and saving him from Herod and others that would do harm to him. Thank you that he came, Lord, he came unto his own. May we receive him, O God, as our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for his work, his finished work. May we, Lord God in heaven, be about your business first and foremost, always putting your business first, and know that you take care of everything else. Thank you, O God, for the completed work of Christ on the cross. Thank you for our Savior. May we serve you, O God, above all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.